Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. And boy, how do you? You're going to be glad you did. Stay with us right now because our good friend Joel Barker is here. Joel is a true futurist, ladies and gentlemen. And I've told you, as I've told you before, I first learned about Joel over 15 years ago when I read his book, Paradigms, which was the paperback version of his hardback book, Future Edge. And I saw the video, and it changed my world, folks. It was one of a handful of life changing events, and when we actually found Joel and ran him down and got him on the show, it was a red letter day for me, and it continues to be every time he joins us. He's also the co-author of Five Regions of the Future, and he's here to talk to us about the future. He's our good friend now, Joel Barker. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. How are you today?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. And now, tell the audience, you're in Twin Cities, Minneapolis,
yep.
St. Paul.
Yep.
Tell the audience how cold it is today in Minneapolis.
Well, right now, March 6th, it is 11 degrees below zero. And that's not wind chill. That's just
11
air.
Degrees below zero. Yep. One of the things we know from that, ladies and gentlemen, I've been to Minneapolis many times. We know that of all the things that you may or may think and you may like or not like about Minneapolis or Minnesotans, there are no wimps in Minnesota. Minnesota is only for the hardy, right, Joel?
That's right, though sometimes we have trouble reading the calendar since it's the 7th, not the 6th.
yeah, like me not being able to tell time. You know, radio talk show hosts are supposed to be able to tell time. Joel, what are some things, now, in the past, you and I have talked a little bit about some alternative energy, and I think you got a couple of those today. You know, one of the things that I think, if I were running for president, and I believe a president could win with this one plank, if somebody had already done this, I would be bringing in the best minds working for me in my campaign that could come up with an alternative to carbon fuel. And I wouldn't be trying to save the world in 4 or 8 years, but I would be saying the United States is going to be the global leader in alternative fuels, and will replace one day the Middle East and other places that are the leaders in carbon fuels. We're going to replace them with alternative fuels. That's what I'd be saying, and I think I could get elected with that message. What do you think?
I think you could get well elected with that message. I think there's a couple other things, but right now energy is absolutely the root problem and the root solution to a yep. whole bunch of issues worldwide. And it's yep. you know, we did the Manhattan Project. You know, we always say, well, right. that was World War II. Well, yep. this is a kind of war too. You know, this is an energy war, and it actually has a much more significant impact on our future than a standard war would have, because you have a beginning
Absolutely.
And end here. If you
Absolutely.
Don't get replacements for energy, boy, your quality of life really changes.
Well, it contributes to the real economy, competitive situations globally. It contributes to economic wars. It contributes to the war on terror. It contributes yep. to a lot of different things. And it's really getting more and more, it's getting scarier. I mean, oil closed at $105 a barrel yesterday, I think.
Yeah, and it's and of course part of that is that fear too. You know, we've got Venezuela messing around down there, and yep. the result is people are saying, "Well, I got to hedge my bets. Got to hedge my bets," and up goes the price of oil.
A big part of the price of oil is speculation.
Yeah, exactly. But what you need is you need an alternative that is sitting there that stabilizes things, so that oil becomes a marginal issue, not
right.
a fundamental issue.
We need an alternative, don't we? We talk about alternative fuels, but folks, we really do need an alternative for all these other reasons we've been talking about. Where does switchgrass come in on all that?
Actually, there's two things that are very interesting on that. Switchgrass, you know, has been talked about as the cellulosic alternative to corn and other stuff, and there's a reason for that. You don't want to use food stuff. But recent research has demonstrated, beyond a shadow of a doubt, using switchgrass, that by growing switchgrass and making ethanol from it, you can yield five times as much energy as the farmers would use to grow the crop. See, so that's really important. If you're at negative energy growing the corn, it's not a deal.
Which is where you are in converting corn to ethanol. We're actually negative right now, aren't we? Getting it all the way to ethanol. It's a negative impact on the carbon emissions, on the fuel used. It's not an efficient way. Sugar is not much better. We got to come up with something else. Switchgrass may be the thing. We're going to take a quick break. We're right back after these messages with our good friend Joel Barker. A lot of future stuff to come. Stay with us. Underneath my feet, it rolls around the sun. It doesn't mean that much to me. Take a chance on what you like, just like all. That's the late, great Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen, from the Innocent Age album. If you don't know Dan Fogelberg, you should look him up. That Innocent Age album is the best album I've ever owned. Double album. Not a bad song. I mean, every song is outstanding. Dan Fogelberg, you can find him anywhere. Welcome back. It's Joe Barker. He's our good friend and our, the resident futurist in the Brain Trust. I know that's something that he's quickly put on his resume. We're talking about switchgrass, and as folks, switchgrass is going to be something that you may not really know much about switchgrass. You may not even know what it is, and I'm going to ask Joel to tell us what it is in a minute. But folks, I'm with Joel. I've been hearing about this for a long time, and I believe that every person on planet Earth, but certainly in the United States, very soon is going to know what switchgrass is and how it's going to impact their lives and maybe even the global economy. Tell us what switchgrass is. What does it look like, Joel?
You know, it's a stringy looking thing. From a distance, it has kind of like it looks a little wheaty in the sense of stalks sticking straight up. It is a natural prairie grass. It grows on marginal lands that you can't grow food crops on. I mean, that's a really good deal.
Right.
And, like I say, it has been proven to be five times as efficient as corn in terms of yield.
So they harvest this and put it through a distilling process kind of thing?
Yeah,
is that what they
do? Yeah, it's the same. So you do the same. You break it up, you know, chemically into its constituent parts, and then you ferment it. And you get your ethanol out of it.
So basically, the same kind of technology that makes corn into ethanol, similar technology would make switchgrass into ethanol.
Well, it's same category, though. You have to change your enzymes and you have to change some of the routines. But yeah, it's the same basic.
I mean, one scientist that produce ethanol from corn could move over to the switchgrass company and do the same
thing. Absolutely. If you got the right enzymes, it's just a matter of no pun intended, switching.
And now with what you just told us, there's no competition for foodstuffs.
Exactly.
Which you currently have with corn.
Yep. And the other thing, by the way, it's perennial. It replants itself. So, I mean, that's even a better deal. You don't have to go through and replant.
It's like hay, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So you get all these advantages, but you don't compete with food. And that's, we got to watch out for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now there's another one though. Some slimy stuff on the horizon. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there's been some really interesting research on algae, and the idea is we've got all this CO2 pouring out of coal plants. Instead of letting it back into the air, you feed it into a system where algae is growing, and the algae suck up the CO2 and convert it into appropriate organic material. And it turns out that if you have an acre of this stuff growing, you know, it'd basically be a pond. That it would produce up to 10,000 gallons of oil per acre.
What kind of oil?
Well, it's bio oil. It's just the same kind of deal. The oil in the algae can be converted. Basically, you take the algae and you squeeze the water out of it. Basically, and of course, it has proteins and other things in it. And from that, you have the component material to convert to bio. biodiesel. So it's
just you're saying you remediate the you capture the carbon emissions from say a coal plant.
Yep.
And never let it get any of it get into the air. You feed it right into just shove it right into a pond of algae.
Exactly.
And then probably certain things that have to be done, you know, that the smart people know about. And then you take that algae, you harvest the algae.
Yep.
And do something with it similar to what you do with switchgrass?
You take it through, it converts it into biodiesel. And you also get some other stuff that you can do. You can do ethanol kinds of things with it, too. So you get both biodiesel and ethanol from it.
Can you make refined products out of it?
Like, yes.
I mean, you said biodiesel, but, I mean, could it make gasoline out of it?
From that, you can have the equivalent. So you've got the
equivalent?
Ethanol equivalent, yeah. So
could you make plastics and things like that out of it?
That I don't know because I haven't seen the full makeup of the carbohydrate.
But you know what? We can use carbon fuels for that. I mean, if
absolutely.
We need to.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, well, here's what we got to do, Joel. And I mean, we got to do. We got to figure out some kind of an alternative to OPEC's pricing of oil, and we got to figure out a way that Chavez can't become richer by rattling a saber. And Ahmadinejad in Iran, we got to figure out a way to not put a tax on American consumers and small businesses just by opening their mouths. That's got to stop.
Well, and you know what you just said, which is the way we have to think in the 21st century. The 20th century way was, well, let's go to war with them, you know, and stabilize things that way. 21st century says is, no, take away their They don't have the power to wage war at that point. They can't afford to build missiles. They can't afford to buy tanks. If you do it that way, nobody gets killed. We get off a lot better because we have much more security than we have otherwise. And you render these people who would like to be terrorists, at least you take away those large weapons of mass destruction capacity that way. It's actually a smarter way to go.
There's one other thing we got to do, Joel, and you probably disagree with me on this. We've got to drill for our own oil. We've got to produce our own oil to the degree that we have the ability to augment this discovery and new development that you and I've been talking about.
Well, I would agree with half of that. I think we have large gas capacity. I mean, very large gas reserves off Florida. Off the east and west coast, and I think we ought to be drilling for the gas.
Well, I agree with you, but there's other oil on the ground. But the main thing is, folks, whatever it takes, we've got to figure out a way to become more independent. And I don't see any politicians, Republican or Democrat or mugwump, helping us out with that. Going to take a break. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joel Barker is our guest, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I approve this message. Joel Barker is our guest and our good friend, the author of many books, including The 5 Regions of the Future, and he's our good friend. Joel, is your website ready? Is the new one ready?
It is. Yeah, they can go to joelbarker.com, and some stuff is now there operating. We've got it cleaned up, and we've got some new hooks and things like that into it. In particular, we've now got a hook to the my tools so they can go take a look at the implications if they want. Yeah.
JoelBarker.com. Check that out, folks. Yeah. You'll never go wrong learning more about and from Joel Barker. I can promise you I have. Joel, talk to us about we've been talking about energy. What's going on? You got some new stuff coming in from Canada, don't you?
Yeah, the Canadians. I like Canadians. I think they're great
people. I do, too.
They do good work, you know.
I do, too.
And I love to see it when they've had breakthrough, and University of Alberta has just announced that they have created basically a medical testing system in a box. And what it means is that instead of going into the doctor and having them take blood and having it go away and have it come back, find out 2 or 3 days later, they can literally measure in a matter of minutes what's wrong with you.
Wow.
And what's really cool is when they did the announcement of the article of this thing, it was $1,000 per unit. They've got it down to $100 for the same function.
Wow.
And they think they will have it to $15 and put it on a chain drive within the year.
What?
Isn't that unbelievable?
So I can do it to myself?
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. You literally could be testing yourself.
That's scary. Me being my own doctor, that's scary.
Yeah, I'm going to let my doctor do it. But the fact is, all of a sudden, the cost of the tests are irrelevant.
Yeah.
And that means for the rest of
who have
never been able to afford the tests, now we can, in fact, do preventive medicine in a big way. So I give three cheers to the Canadians.
No kidding. That's great. Well, you know, that's exactly right. It irritates me. I went to the when I had a physical with this new doctor I got a few years ago, I went in and got my physical at the same time I got the blood test, and then they called me back. And the nurse talked to me about my results, and I said, that's backward.
Yeah,
so the next year I went in, I called them up before my appointment, and I said, I'm coming in for a blood test. And they said, well, your appointment's not till for a week. And I said, I know, but when I'm sitting there in front of the doctor, I want him to know what's – I want to talk to him about that. And, you know, they hardly knew what to do with me.
I mean, me being
such a contrarian and all, you know, I don't always work and play well with others, Joel. I guess
well,
you found out about
that.
Sure did, and but you know what? I got what I wanted. I sat there, and my doctor talked to me about my records, and I like that.
You know, that's what you're paying him for. So why wouldn't you want the doctor to have the most current information in front of him or her as they're reviewing your situation?
Now here's a paradigm shift that you're talking about. And folks, now this is the student teaching talking to the master, folks, about his own work here, Joel. That's going to be a paradigm shift for one of the
Absolutely.
Because many of them have their own labs, their own testing in their office. And if you democratize testing people, that's going to be a paradigm shift for them.
Exactly. In fact, a friend of mine once said, whoever controls the test controls the package. And you think about it in education and medicine in particular, the tests are the keys. And so all of a sudden, the price of testing in medicine drops precipitously. It changes the way you're and the way your doctor is going to relate to you.
I want you to email me the name of that company, Joel. I want to buy some stock.
I will.
I want to do it now.
I'll send you. Actually, I sent you the
Oh,
the
that's
email.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
I have it here.
You have it, and you can share it with your audience with the information.
Well, I don't know. I don't want. I want to get there. I love my. I've got a tip here. I'm going to get there first. Yeah. No, I'm just teasing. I'll tell you who it is, folks, when I find it, get all it worked out. Joel, I got about a minute left. What's left?
Well, let's finish up with the Canadians. The Canadians have been doing good work, and the University of Toronto has developed a new spray-on solar power cell that uses nanotechnology that could be, it's efficient right now, but they think it could be five times as efficient as the standard cells. 30% conversion of energy.
What do you mean? Spray it on, like, your house?
Spray it on your sweater, spray it on your windows, spray it on plastic surfaces.
And what is it? How does it convert to energy, though?
Just like all solar cells does, it takes the visible light and the infrared energy, by the way.
Yeah, and then what does it power, though?
It converts it directly into electricity.
But why would I put it on my sweater? Why would I'm confused.
Well, they were joking about it, that they could spray it on anything, but they said, why shouldn't you be reaching your iPod while you're walking?
I got you.
So
spray it on your roof, and you don't have those ugly converters up on the solar panels up on your roof. If you build a roofing product out of it,
this changes everything.
Changes
in terms of
everything.
The ease of getting solar capture.
Changes everything. Joel, I love it when you join us. You always make us excited about what's to come. Thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen, isn't he the best? I got to go for this hour. The Small Business Advocate, and this program really is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.